Hey everybody, my name is Austin.
I'm Jonathan.
And I'm Colton.
And we're three close friends who have a desire to share our lives, experiences, and our pursuit of Christ, all from a biblical perspective.
You're listening to the Exiles Podcast. Let's talk about it.
All right. We are back again. I don't know what you call this episode. because it is not a bonus episode, but it is a
bonus.
I'm gonna call it a back pocket episode.
There you go.
Thing to this, we've probably been sitting on this episode for quite some time, and we might have come to a place where we weren't able to meet or get together, and so we just threw this episode out there.
I got one for you. Are you ready? What? It's a just like the Baptists of old had a get out of hell free card. This is our get out of a week free card.
That's right. Get out of recording week.
Get out of recording.
Well, as we're recording this one, Jonathan's actually not with us again. Jonathan is sitting in this particular moment in time, wherever this episode is dropped, but that's neither here nor there. Yeah. He'll be better, Lord willing.
Well, yeah, I was gonna say, Lord willing, man.
I can't say that if
you can't.
Now something happens to him, I can't.
Oh my gosh,
we got to put it out before something happens to him.
That's terrible, bro.
Jonathan's at deathbed. I'll just throw it out there, like boom.
Hey, you guys will want to listen to this one in the next week, please.
Yeah.
limited time to check this one out. That's too funny.
But, you know, the good news is that Colton and I really wanted to talk about the topic that we're going to have today. Jonathan, on the other hand, felt super uncomfortable with the topic for some reason. I guess super uncomfortable makes it sound really bad, like we're about to talk about something really bad. So let me just go ahead and throw out the topic. The topic is about our relationships with our in-laws. And I think Jonathan just has a terrible relationship with his in-laws.
I'm kidding.
He brags so much about his father-in-law and his mother-in-law, and he loves and adores them. He really does. I think his father-in-law and him do some projects together. I know that they put their Jonathan's landscape. Hey, they kind of worked on the landscape around the house together. They're talking about cutting down a tree in the middle of the city.
I straight up almost said a terrible joke, and I'm really glad I didn't.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm glad you didn't either. That would have been
that would have been in poor spirits.
Yeah, but no. Jonathan really does love his in-laws.
He does. But he just doesn't want to talk about them.
He just didn't want to. Yeah, he felt like, man, I don't know. It feels like it could get a little choppy. I don't know what that means, but.
Choppy's my middle name. That's where I live and breathe.
Colton live for choppy.
I live for the choppy waters.
I don't know. Do your in-laws listen to the podcast?
Nope. I don't believe so. So I can really kind of say whatever I want and we'll be all right.
Yeah, I bet if I put out, like, if I share on Facebook, Miss Sheila's going to be like, oh, this topic about in-laws. I guess I'm going to listen to it. So,
man, that's so funny.
So why don't we just go ahead and get rolling in the topic, okay?
Okay. Well, I don't really know. I know that you said that that's our topic, but I really don't know where you want to go with this. So well, I'm going to let you drive it.
Well, that's as the host of this podcast. And,
oh,
and
there it is.
Sidekick. Yeah, well, you know, I'm just owning it now.
Own it, baby. I like it.
With you being one of my sidekicks, I felt like that was already happening anyways. Well, let me just ask you, let's just get some things up in the front.
Okay, let's do it.
What are some things you love about your in-laws?
My man, I honestly can't say enough good things about my in-laws.
They're definitely listening to this episode.
They probably are. There's a running joke where I've told my wife, like when I met Lydia, her dad was traveling for work often, but I would always come and hang out, and me and her mom have just kind of always clicked. And so I would always make this running joke, like, hey, if anything ever happened to your dad, then Hayes can just come and live with us. We'll take care of her. Like, it's going to be okay. And my wife has always just been like, wow, like, that's really weird. Like, you can't, like, just say that. And, like, now my father-in-law is in on it. He's like, yeah, it's really kind of weird that you're so, like, cool, you know, with just, like, taking care of my wife if anything happened to me. And what's even funnier is that my mother-in-law plays into it. She's like, you guys just don't understand our relationship. Like, you'll, and so, it's pretty funny. Man, what I love about my in-laws, though, to get on a serious note, is that they truly respect me. They really are just really good about and meeting us where we're at. I'll put it that way. They meet us where we're at. There's always an invitation to be with them, but there's also an understanding that we are our own family, right? Yeah. And I think that's really unique, man. I'll just kind of say it, man. There have been rough patches in my own family with like my spouse and navigating some of those things. But you know, I was the oldest of two, and my wife is the fourth of six, and so like my in-laws have had a lot of time.
Ready to get rid of Lydia.
Yeah, that's exactly like, dude. There was a standing ovation when we got engaged because they were like, praise the Lord, you know, she's out of the house, like we're done with that one. So I love my wife, right?
Five more to go.
But anyways, so I really love that they respect me, right? They cherish my family. They are always willing to meet us where we're at, man. And I feel like they never overstep, right? And if they do, if they even perceive an overstepping, like my in-laws, my father-in-law specifically, is so quick to apologize. Like I remember me, like I've me, Austin. Like I'm very easygoing. I will make jokes, and you can basically say whatever you want to me, and like it's whatever. Like so, like one day we were talking at a family dinner, and he made a joke about how much I was eating that night, and like I've got to lose some weight. Like it's just a reality; it has to happen. Right. And so like. And so he makes a joke about how much I'm eating, and I kind of laugh, and I'm like, man, like, it's going to be whatever. The next day, he calls me up, and he's like, hey, if you have a minute, can you stop by the house? And he spent the next hour apologizing because he felt like he overstepped in his comment. Like, and I was just like, hey, you're fine. Like, that didn't even register. I don't even remember the comment that you made. But, like, that's the kind of heart that they have, is they want to make sure.
I remember the comment he made.
You remember it? Were you there?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. That's awesome.
Fifth trip back to the buffet, buddy.
Yeah. Well, we were at a Mexican restaurant, so it was a buffet. So, but that's what I would say, man. So tell me, what do you love about your in-laws?
So my in-laws and me, we, at the beginning of mine and Anna's marriage, we really just don't have much in common, if I'm being frank, you know. So it was really fun for me to find something to have in common with them. So I felt like my relationship with my mother-in-law they've always been good. Like it hasn't been rocky or anything in my mind, but it began to, I feel like, grow closer when I was able to, like, I love to cook. My mother-in-law is a fantastic cook. And so that was one area where I was able to connect with her and just, hey, I'm about to cook this. Or how did you cook this? Or how do you get Anna to try new food?
Right.
And she's like, well, fuck with that. Like, they never let me cook. If it was up to Anna and her dad, they would just eat dinosaurs all the time.
Yeah.
Anyways, and then with Mr. John just, he has a plethora of knowledge when it comes to building things. And I am a beginner at it. You know, like I can build some things. But I really need help. I don't know all the technical terms. I don't know all the names of all the tools. And so he's helped me in that area. And that's been a way for us to bond. But I think, too, I would like to echo what you said. Never once have I felt like my in-laws have overstepped in our relationship. I really feel like if they have, I don't know about it. You know, Anna's very, very cautious to guard me from it if they have, and I don't think that they have. But some of the best advice that I've ever received in my marriage came from Mr. John. And I don't know if he meant for it to be advice, but it was something that he said that just really made me treasure my early years in marriage with Anna, which we're still, I mean, this is year five for us, but this first 2-3 years, I can remember we were sitting there in this living room in our small little rental house, and there wasn't, it was a beautiful little home, but it wasn't much to it. And I just remember he was sitting back in that recliner and we were talking. He goes, you know, treasure these moments while you're poor, because when you have everything, you just get distracted and get each other. And I paraphrase that a little bit. I can't remember exactly how I said it, but that's essentially what he said.
Right.
And I just thought, man, what a testimony of how to love your wife well, and to remember that these other things can be distractions from causing you to love your wife well. So some of the best advice I've ever received to loving my wife well, their daughter, was from him, and he probably doesn't even know that.
Love that, man.
But yeah, just enjoy it while you're poor, because the distraction of this world will come and you never knew it. But yeah, so I'm trying to think of, I love Thanksgiving with their family and Easter. They are big Thanksgiving and Easter folks. Well, I say big Thanksgiving, you know, I don't know if they became big Thanksgiving people when we moved in or not, but they were always been big Easter people. They love getting together on Resurrection Sunday and hanging out as a family and remembering the resurrection of Christ. And Anna and her mom, they still participate when they do it. They participate in the kids' Easter egg hunt. And let me tell you something. They will fight for that Easter. They're looking for that golden Easter egg. And Anna somehow always finds it. I think that Pop, my grandfather-in-law, always shows her where it is. But
that's awesome.
But yeah, man, that's what I really love, you know, about those things that we've been able to share in common, those things I've been able to grow in. And I'm be honest too, the last thing I'll mention, they have really built my character as a husband.
Yeah.
John has this way about him. He is just go, go. He says he doesn't have the energy to go and do, but man, he does. He works until there's no work to be done. And so when his wife calls on him, he is there to help and to serve, that I can see. Whenever we're with him, and he's always building something, always fixing stuff, has that heart for it. And when the first couple of years of my marriage, man, John was on me, you know, when, hey, have you changed up the air filters in your house? Have you done this? I don't take that as overstepping. Some people may, but John was, in his mind, he was saying, I entrusted my daughter to you.
Yeah.
And I want to encourage you and promote you in her life, but I want you to be the husband you're meant to be. And that is to serve her and to help her and to make sure her life is easier, you know? Yeah. And good. So I am really thankful for John and Sheila for pushing me in my laziness to be a better husband towards their daughter.
I think that's good. I think in thinking through this idea of in-laws, like I would need to do a little bit more studying in the scripture on this to really formulate in my mind. But as far as I can remember, there's not many, if any, passages that really speak on the relationship between a husband and his father-in-law or mother-in-law. But I think, and I think this is probably a whole conversation to understand the cultural differences and things of that nature. But there's a real, and maybe you can look at the Old Testament a little bit more for this, but I think there's a real reality that says that, like, I don't really just see my in-laws as in-laws. I see them as like my parents, you know what I mean? Like, I see them as another set of fathers and mother in my life. 'Cause you just said it, man, that like my in-laws have had such a profound, I'm talking profound, impact on who I am today. And it's because, and for our listeners who are out there, like, my father-in-law had an accident several years ago that left him paralyzed. And so for the last 7 years, they have lived out their vows to one another in the most realistic way possible. Mm-hmm. In that, like, my mother has been the primary caretaker for my father-in-law for 7 years. And to see the hardship in those moments, to see the weakness in those moments, but also see a profound reliance on Christ has been so huge. And so for me, like, this is a big thing that I care about, because like my wife and I will talk about, you know, ways in which we go, hey, we love what our parents did here, but you know what? Our parents weren't great here. So we want to make sure with our own kids, we don't want to do these things. But for me, it's a, you know what? Those are my parents. I see my father and mother-in-law as my parents. They're my wife's parents. And so they're ultimately my parents. And what does the scripture tell me to do? It tells me to honor my father and mother, right? And so Paul would even say in 1 Timothy chapter 5 that that we are to care for the widows among us. But I think you can extrapolate that a little bit more to care for our, you know, our fathers and mothers who are in need, right? Like, that's the reality, is our parents are going to get older. They're going to get to a point where they need help. And it's up to us as their children to honor them and to care for them well, right?
You know, I was going to say that too. Like, Paul talks about this to Timothy, that, you know, if the widow's daughter is still alive, then he gives the instructions to the daughter,
right,
to take care of the mother,
right,
after the husband has passed away. And, you know, I get to thinking about that. That's given to the daughter. Well, if that daughter's married, well, guess whose responsibility that falls under too? Mine and yours.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
You know, us as in-laws.
Absolutely.
And so here's the question, you know, if that were to be in your, like in your life, my life, or if you're a listener, if this were to take place in your life and you realize, man, God has charged my wife or my husband to take care of their mother now that she's a widow, or their father now that he's a widower. How do you feel about that? You know, and I think that reveals a lot about, here's the thing. I will gladly take in either of my in-laws, and because one, I've seen them do it myself.
Right.
They take care of John's mom and help her, and they do the same thing. Both of Miss Sheila's parents are still alive, but they take care of them, and they care for them so well. And I've seen that in my own parents' lives. Like, it's just ingrained from my experience watching these examples in my life that, man, when the elderly, or when our parents are elderly or our in-laws are elderly, the Lord charges to take care of them and to come and help them and love them.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Absolutely. And I think that's where it kind of goes back to. So, like, it's easy for us to talk about, hey, we've got great relationships with our in-laws. We love our in-laws. We want to be around them. We love spending time with them. You know, they respect us as families. Like, if you're a listener out there and you're not in that space where you've had difficulty with in-laws, you've had hardships, like, I would encourage you to, I would just remember what the scripture says. Honor your parents, right? And understanding that honoring them doesn't mean that you give in to them, you know? So, like, if you're finding yourself in a difficult situation where there's a lot of expectations on their end that aren't on your end, and it's causing a lot of strife, honoring them doesn't just mean that you just let them have whatever they want. It doesn't just mean that you do whatever they ask or whatever it is. It means that you have to understand that, like, hey, you left your father and mother. You've clung to one another as one flesh. You still have these other you have these other families, you know, you have, you know, parents and all these things that are still part of that, but helping them understand, like, what truth is now, right? What's the reality of today? And so, you know, and doing that in a God-honoring way, right? It has to come back to, you've got to do it in such a way that it is honoring to them, not in a blasting of, you know, like, I'm done with you, and like, just boom. Like, there's got to be some honoring there. There has to be some understanding of, hey, look, here's what the scripture has called me to do. You're not obeying the word, and I'm going to obey the word as best I can. And so that may mean that here's the new reality for us moving forward, setting boundaries well, understanding what the new reality is. And, like, again, like, what if your in-laws are causing your spouse grief for some sort of situation? Maybe you walk into a family and you understand that, wow, this parent has really been you know, abusing my spouse, right, in some sort of way. They've been causing them grief. Well, now it's your job to step in between your spouse and the abuser or whatever it is, and say, hey, not anymore, right? Mm-hmm. I'm gonna protect my spouse, you know. And I don't know if you've ever experienced that, but I've never had to do those kind of things. But there have definitely been moments where I've said, you know what? What if I needed to step in? How would I handle that? Would I be willing to do that?
I think that's the thing, is I've thought about it, like, in a scenario. When is it appropriate for me to step in? Because, and I'm so glad that you made this turn, because this is another area I wanted to talk about. We need to love our in-laws. We're thinking about our parent, our wife's parents or our husband's parents, right? But
not my husband.
Oh, you know what I mean. this woman listen.
I'm just kidding.
Anyways, but you know, this stretches not only to them, but the other in-laws. You know, we have more like brother
siblings. Yeah.
In-laws, you know. And I think that what you're doing is you're making this clear distinction that I think is made in all the way back in the establishment of marriage in Genesis chapter 2, but also Jesus talks about it to the Pharisees in Matthew 19. He says, therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate. And he's talking to him about the topic of divorce. But what I really appreciate about this, well, let me back up. I think that too often we misinterpret this and we say, well, it says that the husband is leaving just his family, and that's not applied to the wife.
Right.
Well, let me just pose this question. What if the wife's family begins causing division in your marriage? And so it is equally as important for the wife to cling to her husband and leave her father and mother and trust in the leadership of her husband as he trusts in God's leadership, guidance of the, you know, of this new family that's been established. And it also says the two shall become one flesh.
Mm-hmm.
They're no longer two flesh, but one. And he says, boy, God has joined together, let no man separate. And I would say that no man also includes, you know, our in-law who may be wanting to cause division. And so I do think what you're saying is, I think we focus on the positive. We have great in-laws, but not everybody does. And I think that there are times where we do have to ask the question, when is it appropriate for me to step in and to lead family into a different direction that opposes or possibly my in-laws?
Well, I think a good picture to look at is also in Genesis as well. You look at Isaac and Rachel. You know, like that dude's father-in-law tricks him into 14 years of service. You know what I mean? Yeah. Oh, Jacob. Yeah, my bad. I'm thinking of Jacob. That's my bad. You know, Jacob's tricked into 14 years of service just to get the bride that he wants, you know, mm-hmm. and his father-in-law tricks him into marrying his other daughter as well. You know, and what does Jacob ultimately do? He takes his entire family and flees. Right. And what I think it's a really cool picture in this is that he's worried about what his father-in-law is going to do. Right. Like, he flees in the cover of darkness to get away from his father-in-law. His father-in-law comes out and meets him and says, why have you done this to me? Right. Like, why did you, you know, not give me the opportunity to say goodbye to my children and my grandchildren? Like, why did you? And what I think is a great picture of this is also the heart of his father-in-law to say, you know, I would have thrown you a party. Right. I would have thrown you this great extravagant event to say goodbye so that you guys can go and follow your God and go back to your homeland and X, Y, and Z. And I think, but I think the picture is very clear that Jacob was doing what he knew he needed to do. Right. Mm-hmm. Like he knew that he had to leave, and now he didn't do it in an honoring way. Right. So going back to that idea of being an honoring spouse in that situation. But he did do what he needed to do for not only his family, but also for God, right? Mm-hmm. I think that's a really key distinction that we need to be bringing up is, right, what is not only honoring to, what is not only right for our spouses and our family, but also what does God call for us to do, right? Yep. What is going to honor God in how we interact in this way or in the conversation that we need to have, you know, like if there does need to be a separation, right? Is it because of selfish gain or is it because of God honoring gain? You know what I mean? I think that needs to be a part of the thought process if you're in a situation like this. And it needs to be part of your prayer as well, you know?
And I think we need to practice one characteristic that God displays towards Israel is long-suffering, you know?
Yeah.
We need to practice that towards our in-laws.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be like, oh, you disagree with me, cut off.
Right.
You know? Or we just had this, we have this political disagreement.
Yeah.
Or we disagree on all these secondary issues and doctrines or tertiary issues, so we're separating. I think there needs to be a sense of, no, like if we're going to separate, there needs to be solid grounds that maybe it's life-threatening or something really severe, or just the fact that, man, we've been going at this for years and this
guy, better.
you know, yeah, it's not getting any better. It's time for us to create more distance.
Yeah.
From another.
They're but causing strife between my children and their parents. You know, like, you know, they're lying about my spouse. They're lying about me as a father. Like they're, you know, like there needs to be serious grievance between an in-law and a family or a parent and a family. Before you get to that point of breaking ties or cutting away or whatever that might look like in your situation.
But overall, I would say, as we wrap it up, you know, and love your in-laws because they are a gift from the Lord.
Absolutely.
My in-laws are, they are a gift from the Lord. I appreciate them more now, 5 years into my marriage, than I did year one. And yeah. I wish that I would have had the appreciation I do now for them 5 years ago.
Yeah.
But I pray that the Lord would cause that appreciation to abound more and more as I experience their love and kindness towards me and my wife.
Absolutely. Austin, this is a total secondary thought. We've talked a lot about how we interact with our in-laws. I think it would actually be pretty awesome that we do a follow-up episode with an in-law on the show and have them talk about how to relate to daughter or son-in-laws and how the Lord has helped them navigate those spaces. Because I do know we have some older listeners on the show who may be getting closer to the situations like that, or maybe they've struggled with situations like that. And so they may be encouraged to hear from a brother or sister who has dealt with those things. And I would hope seemingly well, and maybe talk about failures and successes and everything in between that they've learned through the Lord. So,
and plot twist, we invite Jonathan's in-laws to come and share and not have Jonathan here.
That would be hilarious.
What do you think?
I think that would be so funny.
If I can make that happen, we'll go ahead and get it recorded and put it as one of our back pockets.
Please.
So when we drop this one, we'll drop that one as a follow up.
Please. You just gotta text Kelly.
That's what I'm gonna
do. Number.
I'm good.
That's amazing. All right, man. Well, that's gonna wrap things up for us here. So be sure to connect with us on Facebook and Instagram at the Exiles Pod, as well as private message us any question you may want answered. You can also contact us with your questions by emailing us at theexilespod@gmail.com. We have a new podcast every Tuesday. And so before you exit off, be sure to leave a review, share this episode with your friends, and give us a like. And until next time, peace.
See ya.